We're going to study the Maharal toward the end of the Parsha. This is from the Gur Aryeh, which is the Perish mostly on Rashi. But it's not only on Rashi, it's on whatever Rashi happens to be discussing. It's not necessarily a Perish on Rashi per se. The Gur Aryeh here is talking about V'haya im bin hakos harosha, where if someone is Chayiv Malkus, the Torah says, V'hipiloi ha-shayfeit v'hikohu lepanov, deirish aso b'mispar. So then they are going to strike him lefanov, k'deirish aso b'mispar. B'mispar, the Gemara says, means that that's only part of what he gets in Malkus. Part he gets lefanov, b'mispar. Lefanov. The rest are la'achayrav. So, therefore, Chazal learned that the makos, 39 maximum, are going to be meted out with one-third lefanov, on his stomach, on the person's stomach, and two-thirds la'achayrav. Also, very importantly and famously, the next pasuk says, Arba'im Yakenu, Lo Yosef. He is to be struck, he is to be whipped 40 times. But since the word before says, Bimispar, and there is no Sof pasuk in the written Torah, in the parchment of a real Sefer Torah, so if you read it together, it's Kederish also Bimispar Arba'im. And therefore, we understand it's that number that reaches 40, but not 40. That's the famous Gemara where Rava says, you have to stand up for Talmidei Chachamim because they're the ones who spare us 40 Malkus. Instead of 40, it's because of them. They understand how to learn the Torah and have the Mesorah of how to learn the Torah Shebichsav. Thanks to them, it's only 39 and not 40. Let's see the Maharal inside. So it's on page Taf Lamed Ches here in the Perushe Maharal al Torah. This is from the Gur Aryeh. So, he first here, this Rashi, quoting from the Gemara, says, Lefanov k'deirish asa, ul'achayrav, on the person's back, k'deishtai, mikan omru, malkin oso, ishtei yados, two-thirds of the malkus mal'achayrav, ushlish, one-third milafanov. Why is it divided that way? What's the point? So the Maharal says, "Mipnei shechashivus ha'adam milafanov." The most dignified and important part of a person is the person's face, and that's the place where you want to, therefore, do the least harm. Not just because you don't want to strike the person in a place that's going to make him look chas v'shalom as if he's been struck. That's not even the reason. They would never strike someone on the face. It's on the body, on the stomach. It's not because you want to, chas v'shalom, avoid disfiguring somebody. But it's because the whole dignity of the person is upon him. And the dignity of the person, the dignity of the man, not only needs to be preserved. The dignity of man, and the most dignified aspect of man, isn't really guilty. The guilt lies with the rest of man. So he says, "Mepnei shechashivus ha'adam milafanov, u'pchisaso me'achorov." That which is most significant in man, where we can see and speak and talk, it's in front of us. That which is pchisus, that which is, so to speak, less dignified, is on our back, is behind us. V'hapchisus tzorach liyos misyaser yoser min hapnim, or min haponim, shehi hachashuv. That part which needs to be punished and that deserves the punishment is that which is really not most intrinsically and most significantly man, because man, especially thinking man, cognitive man, is an upstanding individual and capable of so much good. It's the most physical aspect of man, the body, that deserves to be punished, and that is best represented by what is behind us rather than the front of man.
The
He says, also logically, which part of man is smallest? Panim. The front of man, the face. It's ma'at ba'adam. In all things, that which is prime and most important is going to be, percentage-wise, the smallest part of the entirety. Out of 100% of an important building, how much of it is the nerve center, where everything is, and the same thing in the case of the human body. How much of the human body is there where the most important aspects of the body really are, and the most important achievements of man are centered upon and directed by what? By the mind, by the heart. The rest of the body, less so. So therefore, it makes sense that the smaller part, or percentage-wise at least, is in the front, receiving the lesser amount of the punishment, and the greater amount of punishment, therefore, is meted out there where the larger amount of the physical man is, which is the back. No, in other words,
well, it should be just the opposite.
Why so?
Because if the
chashuv
part is the front,
yeah,
so then he should get more malchus in the front than in the back.
No, on the contrary, what we're trying to say here is, in the first part, what he was saying is that the entire guilt of man is there where his most physical aspect is located, which is his back. And the cheshivas of man, and the dignity of man, and certainly what represents the potential of man, which is really good and lofty, is the front. And that's why the front gets struck only one-third, two-thirds behind. And then, if you want to divvy up man and say, well, which part of man is the larger portion is behind, as opposed to the smaller portion, which is in front. Let's look at the next paragraph. Oid Pirish Rashi, Bemispar Arbaim, V'loy Arbaim Shleimim. So, Chazal famously tell us it's Bemispar, meaning not the full 40, but the number that reaches up to 40. Elamin Yeshehu Seichem Umashlim L'Arbaim. It reaches 40, but not 40 itself. V'hein Arbaim Chasarachas, V'im Taimar. So now the Maharal says, Lama Kasav Arboim. So then say, you know, Shloshim V'teisha. Why should you talk in riddles? Why talk about what reaches up to 40? Just say 39. V'yesh Mefarshim, here he's quoting the Medrash Tanchuma, no less. V'yesh Mefarshim, Devadai Dinhu, Sheyiloke Arboim. It makes sense, the Medrash says, that the punishment for an Avera, typically, most Averis, nothing so severe as Chai Vekrisis, nothing so severe as something which would have Mises Bezdin, Malchus should be meted out as punishment because Mipnei Shechota V'chayev Einish L'Shamayim Yehen Nilka Arboim K'neged Arboim Yoim Shal Yetziras Havlad. There are two things that are 40, the Medrash Tanchuma says. It took 40 days for the Torah to come to us. It takes 40 days for the human form from the time of conception till the human form takes shape is 40 days. So those two reasons, Medrash Tanchuma says, are the reasons why it would be 40. What he's quoting here is that part of the Medrash Tanchuma saying that man that has all of the potential to do so much good, whereas that potential has now been corrupted, and unfortunately man has not done well, but has done evil, so then that whole purpose of man doing good has been subverted. The raison d'etre of man is to do good. Hashem says, in 40 days I created you, and gave a whole new life. Those arboim yom, were the days I formed you. For what purpose? To do good. And now look what has happened. Look what you've done instead. So that's why you would get one lashing for each of the days on which a man was created. He would be lashed. Rach mipnei shehu yisbarach einoi meir kol chamasai. But because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not conjure up all of his holy wrath, Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is merachem. So he takes off one degree one day in one lash. And now he points out that this, and this is in the Mishnah, in Maseches Makos, that in addition to reading out loud the Pasuk, V'hifla Hashem es Makosecha, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to cause you to be struck and you'll be lashed. In addition to V'hifla Hashem es Makosecha, there's also the Pasuk of V'hu Rachum Yichaper Avoin V'lo Yashchis V'hirba L'Hashiv Apo V'lo Ye'ir Kochamasa. That they say that pasuk toward the end of the lashing itself, says the Maharal, something so fascinating. B'chein v'hurachum im hamalkus sheyesh ba yud gimel tevois. There are 13 words in that pasuk. V'hurachum HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merachim. He has mercy. V'lo yashchis, he will not destroy us. He wishes not to even punish us. V'hirba l'hashiv apo, and he'll draw back and hold back his anger. So he's not going to allow all of his fury and his full fury to pour out, and that's why you're not getting your 40th makkah. It's interesting that the Chassam Sofer, just as an aside, the Chassam Sofer says that the first day of the Yetziras Havlad is not a whole day. The first day of the creation of life is not a full 24 hours. And that's why the person is spared that 40th lash. Because it's really only 39 days. It's not 40 full days from the time of conception till the point where you say, there's a Yetziras Havlad. It's only after that that you say that there's a Yetziras Havlad. You know, by the way, just as an aside, the idea of Arboim Yom is very, very consequential in Halacha. In Halacha in the Beis Hamikdash, Manshim Beis Hamikdash Shayekayim, if it was less than 40 days from the time of conception, then whatever it was that issued from a woman when she miscarried, it would not cause tumah. She would not, it's right? It would not cause her to be tummy, not for Zohar, not for Nekeva. Whereas after 40 days, if you couldn't discern, you would have to, l'chumra, suspect that she would be Tumea, Yoledes, an amount for even a Nekeva, let alone a Zohar. And today, still, halacha, there are those few circumstances, lo aleinu, where some exigencies might allow for an abortion, which before 40 days would be far more easily permitted in those instances than after 40 days. Anyway, so the Chassam Sofer said that, that's the reason why the 39 days are really only 39 plus and not full 40, and that's why the Malkus are only 39.
Any relation from Malkus to Malkus?
Yes.
There is.
Yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely.
I figured there must be the same number.
Creation.
Yeah. Also 39
weeks.
Maybe 40 weeks of gestation.
Amnam. Let's to the bottom paragraph on page Taf Lamites. Amnam Nire. Now he says what the idea of the 39 really is and why that 40th day and the 40th lash is not administered. Ki bevadai hayiroy lilkais arboim kineged arboim yoim shel yitziras havlad. As the Medrash Tanhuma says, it should be 40. The Gemara in Menachos Tzadites says that 40th day is when you start to have the human aspect, the neshama, says the Maharal. The first 39 days, the emphasis is only on the physical body of the man or woman. Where does the responsibility for Avera lie? It's in the body. The weakness of flesh. Shabo hayetzer hara. It's in the flesh that culpability rests. V'haneshama chata imo. The neshama is, so to speak, just tagged along. The responsibility of the neshama is secondary to that of the guf. it's there and it's responsible because it's part of the whole person. Shekala mechuba latame harehu kamayu ba'ida im haguf. Of course, the neshama is held responsible. It's part of the whole man, and the whole man did sin. And the neshama is connected to, inextricably, until times of Misa, inextricably connected with and responsible along with the guf. But, ulufichach amra teira arba'im yakenu. Only 40, but only 39. Sha'af ha'neshama shi'im ha'guf chayiv ha'malkis. Yes, that's why the Torah says 40. Because the truth is, you deserve 40. 39 guf, plus the 40th day when your neshama came to you, and your neshama was there, and alongside with the guf, did a terrible thing, whatever the avera may have been. Shekola sha'af ha'neshama im ha'guf, shehu ha'chayte harehi kimoya kidlel. Yes. It says culpable. It should be that you get the lashing for the neshama for the 40th day when the neshama came to man. Achein, however, once the 39 are administered, now the entire image of man has been restored. The guf aspect of man is cleansed. The Chachamim say that the power of Malkus is so great that kol chayiv krisus, this is one opinion in the Mishnah in Malkus, even someone chayiv kares, nifturum midei einshin al yidei Malkus. If Malkus was administered, then they are no longer going to be chayiv kares. In other words, it's a cleansing of the entire guf. Umemeila nimtza haneshama tahira. So then once the guf has received those 39 lashes, so the neshama is no longer connected to the body that's so guilty. The body is not guilty anymore. The body has been cleansed. So the neshama then is attached to a guftar, so the neshama is tahira. Because the neshama intrinsically is of great value and of purity. Neshama shenasatavi tahirahi. So, yes, it's true that because of its attachment to the body, the neshama, which came on the 40th day, since Yitziras Havlad, also should have been a part of this entire picture and should be, therefore, accountable, and therefore there should be the 40th lash. But no. Once the 39 lashes have been administered, and the body and the guf is naki, so then, what do you want from the neshama? Neshama is returned and restored to its pristine state because once the guf has been cleansed, so the neshama, which is naturally and intrinsically tahar, the neshama is tahar again. Rak ka'asher hi mitzurefes leguf ha'chayte. Only when it is bound up with the sinful and the stained body, that's when the neshama is there alongside with the guf, deserving, stained, ugly. V'kasher guf naki min achet. But once the guf is naki from chet, ein kan p'chisus, so then there is no dross left, certainly not in the neshama. Ein kan p'chisus v'chet b'neshama, v'ein tzarech lahal kaisei oid. So therefore, what he is saying here is that the idea of arbayim is in absolute correlation to the number of days of Yetziras Havlat. The Gemara Menachos Tzadites says the 40th day is the day when the Neshama arrives. The Neshama and the Guf were obviously together and all are responsible for whatever chet it may have been. But once the Neshama has been cleansed, once the Guf has been cleansed, and that's the Guf that has actually done the Avera, so then the Neshama goes back to its, automatically is restored to its pristine status. So that 40th lash isn't necessary. So the Torah says Arbayim, because at the time, that's what he would deserve. But once the 39 have been meted out, the neshama has been restored because it's no longer attached to a guf lainaki. And this is the gist of the maral when it comes to looking at man and seeing the pristine nature of the neshama. And beholding the neshama in its glory and appreciating it, because it's that aspect of man, the neshama, that's his tzelem elokim. Earlier in the parsha, where it says Leisolin Nivlase Al Ha'etz. So the Maharal, not in the Geraria but in the Or Chodosh, says that Kilulas Elikim Talu, Yakadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want, not just because because man is Betzelem Elikim. He explains it. He says because it's the whole aspect of man that is a holy image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Man is Mishtatef El Elohim B'Tselem. Because man is a Tselem Elohim, it's a Pogeya B'Kovid HaTselem to hang up a person. Kilolas Elohim Talui. And all of this is because the Tselem Elohim of man is something that you can never say man is so awful, so terrible, that you can justify such a level of abuse and degradation as allowing the Tselem Elohim to be up overnight by Solon of Lassay. No. See, it's interesting. Kilolas Elohim Tali, according to one man, the Amma means that Dafkafer, the Aver of Avodah Zarah, that's where, after Skila, for specifically Avodah Zarah, you have this image of man hung up for a moment and then taken down. But only for Avodah Zarah. It's almost two sides of the same coin. On the one hand, you're holding up the image of man because you're saying that you have diminished the Tzelem Elohim by being an Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, we have to protect the Tzelem Elohim, and so we're not going to allow you to stay overnight. You're not going to have the Linas Hames overnight in public. So the Maral, in a consistent way, here also in what we study tonight, is showing us that the pristine nature of the Neshama is such that as soon as the Guf is made to sustain whatever punishment it must, the Neshama is already restored, and the entire person is considered righteous. So Arbaim represents the whole person. But the actual Malkus are only 39, because by the time the Guth sustains what it must, the Neshama has to be appreciated again for all of its purity and all of its holiness.